Really? That's what it's going to be. Okay.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk with Sharon Steitler, the bird chick, about keeping your atheism on the down low based on the communities that you're working in.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am one of your hosts, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, now Molly Glover. It's not even going to show up.
I'm sorry. I made a bird noise.
And Nick Glover.
Squawk.
And the bird noises are because our guest this week is the bird chick, Sharon Steitler. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I don't do bird calls because I think that's degrading to bird watchers everywhere.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
You can make fool of yourself.
I was just so offensive.
This podcast is over before.
Yeah. I was offensive and I wasn't even trying. That doesn't happen very often.
Molly went right for bird face comedy.
That's terrible.
It's a cockatiel minstrel show that I just put on. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
You should be ashamed.
I'll go home and apologize to Huey Lewis. That's my mom's cockatiel.
Your mom's cockatiel is Huey Lewis?
Huey Lewis and his cage full of news.
Can he sing?
Oh, that makes sense. Does he poop on the news?
Yeah, he has a cage full of news.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right. So Sharon is a bird watcher and an author. You've written books about bird watching.
Yes.
One came out recently. What is the name of the book that you just released?
1001 Secrets Every Birder Should Know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're like big old into the bird watching thing in the birding community.
It is that thing that I do.
It's that thing. I mean, it's the thing you're known for.
Yeah.
And the reason we brought you on is because in addition to being a birder, which I'm sure we'll talk about, you are also an atheist.
Yes.
Like us. And we got to talking about the fact that in the birding community, you need to kind of keep it on the quiet, keep it on the down low.
I do keep it on the down low. Yeah.
So why is that?
There are different types of bird watchers. There's super hardcore bird watchers. You have your scientific bird watchers. And then you have this kind of cadre of backyard birders.
Uh-huh.
And that tends to be where you're more conservative, definitely more religious bird watchers are.
Okay.
And it's interesting when I go to bird festivals and things like that and people start talking to me because of my online presence, a lot of people feel like they know me. And the number of people who will just come up and start talking to me and saying God bless you or telling me their issues on abortion and who they're voting for. And I'm like, wow, you really think that's the political end I fall down on? Okay.
Would you say the people, the backyard birders who tended toward more conservative and religious backgrounds, are they more rural? Do they live in more rural areas that you know? I mean,
maybe suburbs, maybe.
Okay.
But no, and I mean, and even some hardcore birders, and you can, people will talk about how blessed they are or, you know, the spiritual experience that they have. And that's great. Please, if that's how you connect to nature.
Sure.
I'm all about getting someone into nature. That's just not my connection to nature. And so I just kind of feel like I really can't talk about that. And if I do that, I could lose a whole segment of my audience.
Oh, sure.
Sure. I would imagine that, I mean, it sounds like, well, you know, it's like nature conservation in Minnesota. It's really, there's a weird divide there between like liberal, protect the environment type people and then hunters and fishermen and outdoorsmen who really want to protect the environment because it's their it's their form of recreation.
Yeah.
That's how they commune with nature. That's how they, you know, go camping or whatever. And it sounds kind of similar to that.
It is. And it's interesting. I mean, they all want the same thing. They all want to conserve it. But it's interesting that either conservative or really religious people will talk about stewardship of the land. They don't like the word conservation or environmentalism.
Interesting.
But they feel like they owe something to the land, they owe it to their children to keep this going, and that they are stewards of the land.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, given, I think, the divide in this country, and I even on this planet, in the opinions about taking care of nature from the conservative and the liberal perspective, you know, any word you can use to get to the concept of conserving nature, I'm okay with.
Sure. However you got to spin it.
Yeah. Right. If you feel more comfortable with stewardship, you go, champ.
Yeah. So, and it is interesting. I've had the same conversation with Joseph Scrimshaw, and Ben Sandell, who I hope we have on the podcast later, is the idea that as a non-believer, you have to really make the decision about how open am I going to be with this?
Yeah.
How out front am I going to be with it? I mean, I don't know that it's that important for a lot of people, but, you know, for me, where it's like what I believe as an atheist is important enough to make it be something that's part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And as an entertainer, I don't shy away from it. I make it part of who I am as an entertainer.
Right.
But when you make that decision, you make the decision to alienate
yes.
a certain mm-hmm. group of people.
Yeah.
And that has to be a conscious choice. Am I going to mm-hmm. make that decision to alienate that group of people, or is it more of a benefit to me to keep that, not to pretend I'm something I'm not, but to simply
decide,
not...
To avoid it.
To yeah. decide it doesn't matter to the other thing. I mean, it's not ignoring it, it's just you're setting up a boundary, you know?
But at the same time, I think all of us can kind of work together in a sense... I was not out with mine for years, mm. and mm-hmm. it wasn't really until Facebook and, you know, seeing people just being, yeah, this is what I am, and it's like, you know, these are regular, everyday people, and yeah. there are a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started, it's like, okay, yeah, I feel more comfortable talking about this now publicly. And so you kind of paved the way for those of us who think that way and believe that way, and then that kind of gives me a platform that I can... interact with people and be kind of a conduit, maybe?
Sure.
And kind of get... Because I think sometimes what happens is people get this idea... It's kind of like evangelical Christians. I think some people feel with atheism that there's, oh, you're going to be this evangelical atheist. You're going to tell them you're stupid. And
angry
oh,
yeah. atheist.
Angry atheist.
Yeah. Sometimes you really want to say that when you read some of the things about science out there. And it's like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah. Really?
You got from point A to point B that way?
Yeah. Or even people who... The more... the Puritan, I'm going to just say false morality, where it's like, you know, oh, we can't have that because that's not moral. That's the Bible says don't do that.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
like, yeah, I'm not going to abide by that. It's interesting because when I know for Vilification Tennis, we had a very specific moment as a group where, and Tim specifically saying, we are going to say that, we're going to say vote no. Against for
yeah.
the
oh, yeah,
anti-marriage
yeah.
I had that conversation
and
I said
so if,
are you guys okay with this because I'm gonna say it
like officially
I'm pretty sure you all agree with me but before I say it
the show took a stance
and we actually had some people say I don't think that you should have done that. I think that you should have kept your politics out of your entertainment, and we were all firm and resolute saying I disagree because this is a human rights issue
and so
it's different I mean it's different but It there are sometimes, you know, there's certain things where you're going to have to just decide, you know, one way or the other. And sometimes there's not, you know, sometimes there's ways to just kind of, I mean, I don't say I'm an atheist at work, but I'm not going around being like atheist.
Well,
how much
does it matter in day-to-day interaction? Not too much.
But when someone is out, when I'm out doing a bird trip and someone's telling me about this religious experience and saying, isn't this great how God gave that to us?
Oh.
I'm not gonna.
What do you say?
I'm just like, I'm glad you're enjoying this moment.
See? Yeah.
That's graceful. It's diplomatic.
Very graceful. That's so God's graceful.
My grandparents, my mother's father and my wife, are Lutheran minister.
Getting more religious by the day, it feels.
And the older they get, especially my grandma, the more religious she gets. But they're you know, all about God, always have been, retired, still preaching. And they also birdwatch.
Yeah,
and he's gone on to talk about how the birds are important in the Bible. Birds, there's a lot of passages about birds. Oh, Matthew has a lot to say about birds.
You can tell that they're from God because of their significance.
Well, right, and you know, like the dove on the ark, and I mean whatever it was. There's a whole
if you go to Florida, there's a whole parable about how if you break open a sand dollar, there's five doves inside, and then those are from God, and it's this whole and I remember as a kid being like, what? Like breaking open a sand dollar, I'm like, I guess those kind of look like birds. Like I'm not seeing God.
do you suppose that maybe that that comes from the idea that God is above us, and because birds can fly, they're closer to God. I mean, I'm totally shooting shit here.
If only we knew someone who knew. What do you think, bird chick?
Yeah, well, I think that's reasonable. And you know, it's actually kind of the bird stuff in the Bible that really got me thinking as a teenager. Was like, oh, maybe this isn't all cut and dry in here. Because when you look at the things that the Jews were allowed to eat and not allowed to eat, a lot of the birds were mistranslated for a while. Mm. Like they confused ibis and swan. And I remember thinking, wow, if they got something as simple as a bird mistranslated about what they were allowed to eat for thousands of years, what else could be mistranslated?
That's a really good point.
That was what you've gotten wrong.
An ibis and a swan aren't even close to the same bird.
The beak of the ibis is shaped similar to the beak of a swan.
They both have wings, too.
They both got feathers.
They're both long.
Yeah. And they're water birds, I guess. Yeah.
Well, one swims, one wades, but...
Yeah.
So they both touch water.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my god, I
have this image of like two scholars like poring over text and being like, is it an ibis or a swan? Well, they both touch water, fuck it, put it down.
We roll around in a swan at Molly's family's cabin and go fishing off it too.
Yeah, it touches water.
Oh no, it's a boat.
Sorry, mistranslation there, guys. Yeah, don't eat boats.
You can see how I can get the two confused though, right? Because they both touch water.
Well, yeah, my brother's a birder as well. My brother and his wife, and David is not. David, I would define David as an agnostic. We've had conversations about, you know, he's one of those people who's like, well, there are things that are unexplained, and so I'm not confident in saying that there's nothing. And I'm like, whatever.
Yeah,
but so I haven't had any conversations with him about the confluence of birding and religion. The thing that I find odd is that if you are religious, you find ways to insert that into a conversation at times.
You see God's majesty everywhere, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's you have to constantly remind yourself because you have to follow all these really messed up rules.
Well, and they're in the majority. That's the thing. Because I mean, if you're religious, no one is ever saying, you know, I should probably keep my Christianity under wraps here.
Yeah.
No one ever goes anywhere and thinks, not in this country, which is where we live.
Yeah.
Like, not even in this state.
They say they
not
do.
Even in
they
this
say
city.
They complain that
they complain, but they don't ever. Yeah. And, like, no one, I bet they feel no doubt about going up to Sharon and saying, God bless you, and you know, I feel that I saw Jesus, you know, when I was with the, you know, I felt his presence, and yet, you know, she can't say, that's not my belief, but I'm glad that is how, you know, she feels that she can't
even... I have
even...
to know someone really well before I'll
think that. And yet there, and it's that whole thing with Christianity of like, oh, make sure that you are, you know, what is it?
Spreading the gospel,
spreading the
proselytizing.
Word. They have witnessing.
Witnessing.
Witnessing,
oh, yeah. Right.
And don't hide your light under a bushel and all that, and it's interesting.
Well, the other thing is, you know, when you're standing and looking at a bird and a beautiful morning and a beautiful tree and everything like that, it seems really... kind of foolish to say, wow, isn't it amazing that random chance has brought us to this moment?
Isn't this beautiful?
And that's the way of y'all. Like, if you go, it's the mass migrations, I think, that get to a lot of people. Like, if you see the 1 million snow geese or the 40,000 sandhill cranes in Kearney, Nebraska, you want that to mean something.
The crows in murder in Minneapolis.
Yeah, the
murder of crows in Minneapolis that just look like you drive through, you feel like you're in a fucking Hitchcock movie because they're just everywhere, but only in, like, this one small area.
Yeah, and Molly's talking about a winter crow roost, and we have about 500,000 crows that sleep in downtown Minneapolis in the
every roof, every tree, every, and only in about, I would say it feels like it's maybe like a half mile that I drive through on the highway where you see it. You're just like, what in the
every,
fuck is going
the,
on?
It's like the top
of
every building, the top
of
every
pole. If they ever sit down and agree to take us out, they could do it.
They could.
The mass, I've never witnessed a mass migration, and that's, I mean, other than like seeing film of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that you wanting that to mean something, but you know, at the same time, I'd look at that and go, wow, I wonder how much bigger that was before we completely fucked with our habits.
I mean, before God fucked with their habits.
I get that same feeling like with like army ants or like any like
a swarm
enormous swarm is like kind of terrifying and kind of awesome, no matter what it's a swarm of.
Literally awesome.
A swarm of butterflies is kind of overwhelming. Like,
And I think that that's also, there's so much horror that happens in nature. It's mm-hmm. awful. Oh, yeah. And just, and so violent. I think people brutal. Also want to insert God into that to justify how random and horrific it is.
Yeah, sure. That's true, because people do use God to justify our own random and horrific lives.
Yeah.
In a sense, like if, you know, your 10-week-old baby died, well, God needed an angel.
God had a plan.
Not babies die.
His eye is on the sparrow.
And this time it was yours. Right. Yeah, his eye is on the sparrow, yes. Yeah. And
there was one time I was in the Florida Everglades, and you know, there's this boardwalk, and you know, there's alligators everywhere, and there's fish, and there's birds, and it's pretty awesome. And then at some point, an alligator decided to eat an egret.
Yeah. Oh, like, man.
1 minute the egret's that's there, rough. The next minute its little feet are, and then it's
screaming
gone.
And,
no, it's not screaming. Oh, it's good. Fast.
It's like the whole body's in the mouth at once. And
the whole body's in the mouth at once, and it's gone. You know, I mean, and that's brutal, and yet at the same time, sort of unbelievably cool.
Yeah.
In the sense that you don't usually see alligators eat anything.
Yeah.
Because they do it so rarely. Mm-hmm. But nature's brutal. You see this beautiful bird. It's an amazing creature, and this other amazing creature needed lunch.
Yeah.
And the bird was lunch.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's hard to reconcile.
It's interesting.
In my mind, impossible to reconcile.
Well, it's something that people want to be able to. People love to see. I think that we want to know things have a reason.
Yeah.
And we want to feel that there's a purpose behind stuff. And it's easiest to make that something that we can't see, hear, or define.
Right.
Because that way, you don't have to come up with an explanation for what the reason is. If you just say the reason is God, as opposed to like, well, why, you know, why is this happening? Give me an actual reason, as opposed to God's will. God's will is just is easy.
Why do bad things need to happen? Why do things need to die?
Why do good things happen to him and not me? God's will.
Yeah, it's, absolutely. Yeah.
God just wants to fuck with you.
Yep.
Yeah. To test.
Because he's, you know, a jackass, right. Basically.
But when I really just figured things out for myself, and I'm like, this can't be.
Yeah.
You know? And it was reading about the universe, how big the universe is, how many galaxies are out there. It was dealing with nature. It was like reading up more on the Bible, and I was like, I felt like a huge weight off my shoulders. Mm. It was like, there's no meaning to any of it. It's random.
Yeah.
And I just stop when my time is done. That is.
Isn't that great?
It's just a relief.
It is a relief.
And that your choices only matter as so much as they affect you here.
Yeah.
And so that if you make a mistake, as long as you apologize and everything goes back to normal, there's not some cosmic justice waiting to kill you at the end for it.
I think it's an incredible relief in that. It all has no meaning, and so because it all has no meaning, it has all the meaning that I give it, all the meaning that I ascribe to everything.
There is no predefined meaning, which means that I can create meaning.
Yeah. Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's
wonderful.
It makes me the god of my own life,
which just reminds me of how I was raised as a Christian Scientist.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Oh man.
Would you like to know how weird my upbringing was?
Would love to know.
Yeah. Okay, I was raised as a Christian Scientist. My father was an atheist, although now I think he's Mormon. I haven't heard for a while. But my mom took me to the Christian Science Church every Sunday. But she worked as a registered nurse.
Weird.
That's right. You were telling me about this. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so when
that's contradict you, right?
Oh,
yeah.
That's
okay.
Super mega contradictory.
Yeah. I was like, Mom, how does that work? You know, because we're supposed to be praying.
And she wasn't just like hospice care. Like, she didn't actually intervene.
She worked in emergency.
She was an actual. Okay. Yeah.
And she said, you know, a lot of people have jobs they don't believe in.
Wow.
And to this day, you can still ask her medical advice. I mean, she's retired now.
Yeah.
But she always prefaces it with, well, materially speaking. This is what you can do if you go to the doctor. Or I have this article that Val Kilmer just wrote that you might want to read. Or here's some passages from the Science of Health.
Val Kilmer a Christian Scientist?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Huh.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
I guess God wanted him to get fat.
Oh, he's God's perfect child.
I guess. Yeah.
I'm never going to look at Tombstone the same way again.
You really are great.
So that's...
And so when did you stop that?
Yeah, and that got weird because my parents didn't like the public school system in Indianapolis, so they would send me to a series of parochial schools. So I also had a Lutheran school, so I got to go to Lutheran services and Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And I was always fascinated at the differences because, like, with Christian Science, you're pretty much God. You know, you can do whatever God can. But at the Catholic services. I was like, wow, you have to go through like all these middlemen when you want to pray. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. Yeah.
And then Lutheran's more like, well, we're going to cut all the middlemen, but you still should feel bad. And it's, yeah. you know, you still have to talk through this very ritualized way yeah. of talking to God.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But no, I questioned it a lot when I was in high school and when I was in college. I think I was full on agnostic. And then when 9/11 happened, I went to a Christian Science service and I got so angry. I got so physically, I almost threw up in the church and that was it. I was done.
What were they saying?
They were all really happy and serene. Which wow. is one of the really appealing things about the Christian Science religion is that everybody is really serene and you want that peace of mind. But it was immediately afterwards and no one was angry and everyone was talking about how wonderful God was and...
Boy.
And I... just couldn't take it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm done.
Is it denial or is it... Do they actually gotten to a point where they believe it strong enough where they're actually serene and happy about... In the face of all that.
Is it like Scientology where there's a lot of brainwashing that goes into it?
There's a lot of mantras. At least that's the way I had it when I was growing up. Because like if you lost something, mom would say, nothing's ever lost, missing, or stolen in God's eyes. Everything has its place and everything's in its place. So just repeat that over and over again. And eventually you'll find it. So you kind of get these mantras in your head.
It's like the St. Anthony one.
Yeah.
Like eventually you'll find it or you won't and that's okay too. Like,
yeah. But,
because if you were meant to find it, then you'll find it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you do something bad or wrong, you know, even if it's murder, you know, you'll probably have to be punished by human laws. But, I mean, at the end of the day, that's not because you're a bad person. That's just because you're not seeing your true spiritual ideal.
Okay.
You're not realizing that you're God's perfect child, and therefore you wouldn't.
So they wouldn't think that. So they wouldn't think that you murdering someone is God working through you, necessarily.
No, you just are not seeing your true spiritual ideal.
You were blind, and now you see.
It's almost like, well, the devil's in you, so you do this bad thing. Except for it's you don't have the part of God, and you haven't realized that God
he's
is
there,
in you.
But you're ignoring it.
Yeah,
because there's no devil.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's good. Cool.
Yeah.
So, is your mom aware of what you believe now, or?
I don't think so. Mm. It's just easy not to talk about it.
Sure.
Yeah,
you know, she's 72.
No, if my mom was fundamentalist anything, like, or really, you know, like, strongly, like, religious in any
one of the flavor. If she had a religious conviction.
If she had a religious conviction, I would have a hard time talking to her about my atheism.
Your mom's just straight up deist.
My mom is one of those, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual people.
Yeah. And
my mom's Catholic, and we don't have a lot of...
An incredibly liberal and cool Catholic.
My mom's
Catholic.
Awesome. I mean, I'm not saying she's not bad. She knows that I don't believe in God, and I don't think she's totally comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think she's comfortable enough with me.
Well, because in her, in her sphere, you know, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think she thinks that.
You don't think she thinks that?
Well, you know, she's the hippie liberal Catholic kind of feel like everybody, if you live a good life, and, you know,
hang in purgatory a little bit.
God's going to figure it out. Yeah. They kind of figure God's smart.
Yeah.
He'll figure out the good. He'll separate the good ones from the
bad
ones.
Near as we can tell, my mom and I became atheists around the same time period.
Huh. Yeah.
Like we're 20 years apart. So. Okay. She came out when I was 12, and so as I was going through puberty, she was like dating women for the first time.
She was going through the Heather Renaissance.
So we both started dating women around the same time.
Yeah.
And, like, we both had our like first big breakup at this around the same time, and so
it's really adorable.
Like,
it's really adorable.
It's within a 5-year span. We both became atheists, totally independent of each other.
I will say that when we were at their family reunion recently, and we were they did the grace. We're gonna all say grace, and so as we're all in this room, and the people in Nick's immediate family, so me, Nick, his brother, his mom, his stepmom, and the two little girls. None of us were bowed heads, closed eyes, or anything. We were all quiet.
Respectfully silent.
But we were all kind of making eye contact amid the room of bowed heads and closed eyes, just kind of like, mm-hmm. Like, oh, hey, mm-hmm. Like,
well, there were...
And we didn't stop. We didn't stop doing what we were doing. Well, you know, because that's...
How many people were in the room under 30?
Like six.
I mean total people in the room. Under 30, how many of them were... members of the Lutheran clergy?
It was half and half, nine, ten.
My JW uncle was there, which was
that was weird,
not awkward.
Jehovah's Witness.
We
never see him because he doesn't come.
We only get together for holidays.
Yeah.
Oh.
So he never comes.
Yeah.
Also, he disapproves. He told Heather
my mom.
I want you to know that I don't approve of you, what you're doing, and I don't approve of Lori, and I don't approve of your relationship.
I don't recognize her as your
I don't
wife.
Recognize your marriage, but I want you to know I'll always love you because you're my sister. And Heather, I have never seen her so angry and sad at the same time because it was like, how can you say
like
that?
He feels like it's a good thing to
he
say.
He feels like he was being super Christian and kind to her to say, just so you know, I'll always love you, but... And it was
really bad. Every story I've ever heard about him as a young guy was that he was a savant. He could play like 20 different musical instruments.
Hmm.
He was never challenged in school. He ran away to join the circus because he was bored, and then
the
just
got
snatched up by a cult.
That's a tragedy.
Yeah, it's rough. I never knew him as that bright guy. I only knew him as the living a humble life for God.
So within the birding community, just to get back to
digressed.
Welcome to Tangentville. there are obviously people who don't believe in God. And I mean, is there like a ever a time where those people just kind of hang out together?
Birder meetup.
Well, I don't know if we call it the atheist birder meetup, but it's, you know, we hang out on Facebook. There actually is a group of birders that I pretty much only knew via Facebook and Twitter, and we all took a trip to North Dakota to go bird watching.
Oh,
it was
fun.
A blast. And it was great because it's like we can let it all hang out. We can show goatsy to each other. We can, you know, we don't, but it was just refreshing to, hey, we can talk about science. We don't have to worry about it getting weird.
We can make jokes, and it's not going to be irreverent and therefore damaging to someone. It's just fun irreverence.
You don't have to worry about talking about global climate change affecting birds.
Or whether or not that's a hoax. And it's like,
That's rough.
Yeah,
you would think, and I mean, I got to say, we got to move to five questions soon. But I mean, to me, it's like, no, it's okay. Because I'm taking it on Tangentville. So you would think that if you are a bird watcher, you would think that one of the things you would see the impact of climate change on the animals that you like to watch.
Or even in their environments. Like how low the rivers are or things like that change. I mean, or how high, depending on
what's
back and forth.
It's so gradual that...
There is that, but then there's just not enough of a scientific record of...
Oh, boy.
And scientific was an actual quote. But you know, it's like, well, or the planet's always going to change, you know.
Yeah.
It changed 4,000 years ago.
Who can say it was us versus...
Yeah.
Versus just the way it was going to be anyway.
Climate's been changing all the time. We used to be in an ice age.
Yeah.
No, I've had this conversation with deniers where I've said, well, but what would it take to convince you that it's right? Well, it would have to happen. It's like, but... We want to stop it before it happens.
Yeah.
If we're having an effect on it, we would want to change what we're doing so it would stop. And you're saying that you won't change what you're doing.
Yeah.
Until...
As a species, we don't like change.
I know. Yeah. I know we don't. We're awful people.
Well, it scares us because change means that maybe... Well, I think a big part of it, too. So if you think about it this way, the majority of people believe in a God. Right now, right? And they believe in God.
Sure.
And a lot of those people believe that God works will, has his will, and that things happen according to God's plan. And so if things are changing, that would be God's plan. And that's scary, because that means if God's willing to change something on that big of a scale, that's making them wonder if this thing that they've been parroting wanted to give them comfort actually might mean something grand and enormous that they you know.
It's because of all the gay penguins. Trying to melt that ice.
That's exactly what it is. Antarctic flood.
Well,
the Sodom and Gomorrah of penguins.
Yeah, the really terrifying ones to me are the people that are like, bring it. That's the end times. Yay. The rapture will happen. The end of the world.
Yeah.
They all think it'll happen in their lifetime.
I had that conversation too about talking about, you know, homosexuality happening in the animal kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know,
with roughly the same occurrence.
If homosexuality happens in the animal kingdom and we assume that that's natural, why, when it's in humans, is it unnatural? And it was basically.
They're base beasts.
Well, they're base beasts.
We have free will.
And we have free will, and the devil makes us do it. And it's like,
isn't that stupid?
the logical disconnect.
Do we have free will, or did the devil make us do it?
Which is we have free will to choose the devil. Yeah. That's the thing.
And again, that's
don't put logic on it, Nick, because that's logic is the tool of the devil.
Yeah. My bad.
That's where the disconnect to me comes in, the idea that if you are that in tune with nature. And I think as a bird watcher, a lot of people are. I mean, they're more in tune with nature than I am.
You have to be super quiet.
To be able to really kind of deny what is really bloody obvious would have to be bloody obvious.
Yeah.
Over time.
Yeah.
You know.
And a majority of bird watchers are on board with climate change.
Right, of course.
Sure.
But I mean, you do run across people out there, oh, it's just a hoax. It'll balance out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just want to slap them.
Okay.
Well, it's like you want to slap them, but you also want to be like, God, I mean, that would be great. That would be great if that were true. And
what a comforting lie. Or
do you know how many scientists hope that you're right?
Yeah.
But you're not, and that's the problem.
Yeah. Shit in one hand, hope in the other. See which one feels up fastest.
Oh. Okay,
that's what my grandma always used to say.
We got to move on to five questions. So we got five questions, which we traditionally ask. Everybody who comes on the podcast, and you get to answer them now. So we will start with question number one, Molly.
Question one, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days? And it doesn't have to be in the theater. At home, rerun, whatever.
The best movie that I've seen in the last 30 days? Probably Until the End of the World.
Oh.
Oh.
It's a Ben Benders movie. Yeah, we found it.
You two did the soundtrack.
Yeah, I was introduced to the soundtrack before I actually saw the movie. But, we got it on Amazon.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
It's the it's a Wim Wenders movie, but it takes you in so many different directions. You don't end where it starts, but it's got Sam Neill, and I'm hot for Sam Neill.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about capturing dreams and watching them at the end is so eerie and strange and beautiful, and they get addicted to it. And it's just, I think that's...
It reminds me of, what's the movie where they record people's experiences?
Strange Days.
It's such a cyberpunk thing.
So, okay, question number two, which we've given you no time to think about, so this will be exciting. What's your favorite atheist character?
There are atheist characters.
See?
That's why it's a tough question.
That's why we made it the question we wanted to hear about.
I forgot to send you the questions ahead of time, which was bad.
Jeez, Tim.
Atheist character. I don't know. Is Scotty in Vertigo, would he be atheist?
I don't know.
The Jimmy Stewart character in Vertigo?
You would know, Tim.
Which one of us has seen a lot of movies?
You know, Vertigo doesn't spend a lot of time talking about religion, so
no,
I'm...
but he gets really fucked up. That movie freaked me out because it was weird to see Jimmy Stewart fucked up.
I'm willing to accept him as an atheist character just because he's an awesome character.
And religion really wasn't... Well, it was brought up for her, but not for him.
Yeah.
Hmm. So it was brought up and then, like, very much not talked about for his character. I'd say that counts enough.
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll allow it.
I almost went Ayla, Clan of the Cave Bear. I was like, no, totem system.
Yeah. God, I love that. I watched that movie way too young. Yeah. I watched that movie when I was, like, 10 years old, and I was like, I love it.
Of course you did, you blue-eyed, blonde-haired little girl.
I was running around and, like tied on towels to be my fur thing and...
the first book is actually really good, then the rest of them is just caveman porn.
The movie was kind of like caveman porn too.
Yeah, it was. But the first one is because, like, the way Ayla's brain is, she's different than the Neanderthals, and so she figures things out. She figures out different hunting, and she learns faster. But, like, in the second book, you know, she's inventing different tools. She's inventing flint. She invents the blowjob, and it's like,
yeah.
So, you know, that's
tools,
basically
flint,
saving
blowjob.
Humanity. She invented faster sex.
Unfortunately, by inventing the blowjob, she never passes on her genes. So.
And that's why global warming.
She's the reason patriarchy.
So our third question is, what is your geekiest hobby? What's the hobby you have that other geeks hear it and they say, damn, that's pretty geeky, man?
Usually it's birding.
That's why he's laughing when he said the question.
Yeah,
Is there something that birders think that is really geeky that you do? Like, is there something that you do that the other birders are kind of like, dang, Sharon, like, that's weird?
beekeeping, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, you do.
Oh.
Yeah, beekeeping.
Apiary.
Yeah, and I mean, that's my major stress relief, and I absolutely... And yeah, they look at me weird when I talk about how cute my bees are.
Bees are super cute.
They're all fuzzy, and when I'm really super stressed, I like to go out to the hives, and I just sit, and I just watch them as they fly back and forth with their pollen baskets, and then you open it up, and if it's a new hive, they're super friendly, and they just kind of look at you and say, hey, how you doing? And then they go about their work, and...
They're like, check out my honey.
They're so.
Yo.
Do you have like just regular honeybees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have the Minnesota Hygienic Italian honeybee.
Awesome.
I've experimented with Carniolan and Russians, but the Italian Hygienic are the best.
Excellent.
Interesting.
I think bees are like the neatest thing.
Yeah.
I think they're so cool. I love everything about them.
I love taking people to the hives. So
I would love to come
to
your hives.
That's cool.
That'd be amazing.
It's fun.
Yeah, that would be cool.
All
right. So, question number four.
Question number four is, what is your favorite sandwich?
BLT.
BLT?
BLT.
If you were gonna make it, or if you were going to have it perfectly made, what would you want? Yeah, toasted bread?
What
kind of bacon?
I'd want super fatty bacon. I'd want the fattiest bacon I could find.
Crispy? Mm-hmm.
No, chewy.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's what bacon is. It's chewy.
Yeah. And I would want the tomatoes from a garden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just fresh. I don't want those in the store.
Like a thick cut or lots of thin cuts?
A thick cut. And then romaine lettuce or a butter lettuce.
Like a leaf or a chopped?
A leaf, but I would want to make sure that it was a leaf that had like a fat stem.
Like the white part that Nick doesn't like? Yeah.
just for the crunch.
Okay.
And
sure.
then a very... Wetness. Thin layer of Miracle Whip, not mayonnaise.
Yeah Miracle Whip.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn right.
That's right.
We've had lots of conversations.
This is a Miracle Whip podcast.
Yeah, right.
No mayonnaise on this podcast.
No.
And then wheat bread, and preferably the kind of wheat bread that has like little seeds in it.
The bits.
I love seedy bread.
Little chewy.
The bits in.
Texture.
Yeah, and toasted.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
So that would be my perfect sandwich.
That sounds really
good.
Now
I gotta get that, and I'm not gonna get it.
Yeah,
for 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
It's okay. I'm leaving for Europe tomorrow, so.
Well, oh, wow. Where are you going in Europe?
Austria, Hungary, and Sweden.
Sweet.
Amazing.
Are you going to watch birds while you're there?
Yeah, it's for work. So it's a birding work thing, and one of the places that we're staying in is the most primitive hotel in Sweden. That's their big
Their selling point?
Yes.
That sounds awesome.
And it looks like someone from IKEA.
Like biking?
Yeah, went out in the woods and took all this found nature and turned it into elegant little huts.
It's like, you'd think you were camping, but you're wrong. You're paying for a hotel.
Was there a movie filmed there?
There may have been.
Because we saw a movie that like it was Swedish. They went out into the woods and there were all these like really neat little like cabin kind of things
shaped into
the woods,
yeah,
and it was
that.
Built within the. And they,
that sounds like what
I'm gonna
is.
Look. I'm gonna look up and see if that movie was
if
made
you,
there.
If you Google most primitive hotel in Sweden, that's
we
what
will,
I will find that out.
Google
that's
most
amazing.
Primitive hotel in Sweden. So, last question.
Oh, yeah.
What is the stupidest or most obnoxious thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
Said to me personally about my atheism.
Or about atheism
overheard.
In general.
Oh, okay, that I've heard. Okay, at
we're
the science
pretty
museum.
Relaxed.
Okay,
yeah,
at the science museum, one day there was a guy that came, and the visitor center for one of the places that I work, the National Park Service, is there, so we get all kinds.
Yeah, you're like a ranger.
I am a part-time park ranger,
Yay!
So, this guy is walking kids through the museum, and there's this big Quetzalcoatlus skeleton that hangs above in the lobby, and he's like, hey kids, look overhead, there's a dinosaur! And kids are, he's like, now remember, we're gonna see more dinosaurs downstairs, and what did we talk about? These were alive when Jesus walked the earth.
Oh my god.
And I thought, that's a hell of a way to sell Jesus. He rode dinosaurs, you know.
Actually.
I would be much more inclined to believe in Jesus if he rode dinosaurs, I think.
Yeah.
That would be a selling point for me.
Yeah.
Riding
dinosaurs.
That
would have been for me. Yeah.
That'd be a selling point for anything. I mean, like, you could sell me on Hitler if you rode dinosaurs. I mean, like a little bit. Just a little bit.
Well, here's
the
question.
Just a tiny bit.
Would Hitler have won if he had ridden an army of dinosaurs?
Which dinosaurs?
Certainly, Stalingrad
would
have gone differently, that's for sure.
Well, no, they're cold-blooded.
If you've got an army of dinosaurs.
Easily. I mean, okay, they're cold-blooded, the reptiles. They're not going to survive the Russians.
They're not cold-blooded. They're not cold-blooded. Most research suggests that they were actually cold-blooded.
Yeah. Well, can they handle extreme cold temperatures? Because the Russian front, nothing would
have
been different.
Andy.
Yeah, it's true. It's
well, you know they had climate change back then?
It's all part of God's.
That sounds like a hoax.
All part of God's plan, though, so it's okay.
All right, I think we're nearing the end. Sharon, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You blog at birdchick.com, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much on the social media or anywhere. If you just look up Birdchick, I'm
Birdchick, you're there.
Yeah.
And your book is 1001 Things Every Birder Should Know. Is that? Did I get that right? Or...
1001 Secrets.
1001 Secrets.
My mom approves of this book. She liked it very much. She read it straight through in like 2 days and said it was really funny. So
yay! Yeah. I wanted it to be funny.
Yeah, she really liked it a lot.
Yay! Thank you.
Excellent. So look up that book. We really appreciate you joining us on our podcast.
And
we will catch you listeners next time.
See ya.
I know. Worst bird call ever.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
There's a picture of a moose.